There we go. Well, let's pick up talking about that meeting again a little bit. Right. The first meeting. You were at the meeting? Can you recall?
I was at the meeting. Well, I remembered all these people there. And I remember, you know, my feelings are just being so appalled and so ashamed at the way this was presented, and that they, like the steamroller running over, and that this is the way it's going to be. And again, this is from, I guess, partly from perceptions, but partly from people. Mm-hmm. And those of us that are interested in people and constituencies, and it was the last way in the world that we would have approached it. And as a matter of fact, Will Garrett and I had said earlier, let us go out and talk to some of the people. Oh no, we're going to do it this way, and you keep your mouths shut. Mm-hmm. Well,
and that was Iwasa saying that.
Yes, indeed it was. It was the lawyer.
I think I remember from the Cane Creek people that the meeting reached a peak when maybe it was Bobby Kirk or someone stood up and got angry. Do you recall?
I remember Bobby getting up and getting very angry.
What set him off, and did you
remember?
Well,
I don't really remember. Well, I mean, the tension was building up. It's not as though everybody was sitting there, happy. They were very unhappy, and they were antagonistic, and it was building up, and we were ready. Crawl under the table was just a horrible kind of thing, but it wasn't a way to interject at that point. I think that both Flo and I, who were probably the ones that were most concerned, felt that we better be quiet until after the meeting. But I can remember, I can see Bobby getting up and being very angry and saying he's going to fight it and all that. But I really don't remember the details of that meeting. I was too much in shock to remember, and it just seemed such a bad way. But what I do remember much more clearly is that we arranged to go out to Ed Johnson's house the following Sunday and bring all the books that they were not saying that they could have. And we did that. We went in her car and I went in my car. And we stayed till about 2 o'clock in the morning. And a lot of the people were there. And we had a much better give and take at that point. They didn't want it any more than they did before. But we, at least they could see what the plans were. At least they knew that some of us were ready to work with them. And of course, we did hope that they wouldn't sue. And all this has been such an expensive thing for all of us, mm-hmm. and for them too. And of course, you know, that only one house at that time, there aren't too many, but only one house at that time would have gone underwater. And a reservoir is never built without condemning and putting whole, you know, that. It was really perfect, but most of all, it was the only site if we could choose, considering 92,500.
At that second meeting at Ed Johnson's house, how many people from Cane Creek? Were we talking 10 people or 50 people?
There were not 50. I would think that there might have been more than 10.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't even remember if Bobby was there. I know Tommy Teer was there. Mm-hmm. And I know Drina Little was there, and the Johnsons were there, and I don't remember the details. We were working pretty hard. We were working really hard to try and show them, and when they'd ask a question, to try and find out in the documents where this had come up and what happened and so forth. And I do know that we didn't leave till about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I know my youngest daughter, when I got home, who was in her mid-teens then, she said, so glad you're home. I've been so worried. I thought maybe they took you hostage.
Well, two more questions on that meeting. How did that meeting end? Was there more of a spirit of cooperation, or was it still very confrontational?
It was not confrontational at all. The meeting was not. They appreciated our coming out. And to this day, I have not myself felt in a confrontational situation with the people out in Cane Creek. I know I'm sad about it. We haven't agreed. And after they got a lawyer then, their lawyers came. Their lawyers were not able to get the material either. And so their lawyers came here, and I let them take what information they wanted to Xerox and bring it back. I didn't feel, I mean, even though the suit had not been started yet, but this shenanigans of not giving people access was something that I couldn't possibly put up with. So that they didn't agree with me and I haven't agreed with them. Nevertheless, they do know that I was cooperative, mm-hmm. and that they just wished that I would have agreed that something else would work out.
Well, my second question is the other side. How did Owosso respond to the fiasco of the first meeting?
I don't think they even realized it was such a fiasco. I mean, we just have to go ahead with it. And we had to reaffirm the vote, and we did, it was. And then the plan started being formed, and Hazen and Sawyer would come down, and they would work on it. And then as the lawsuits came, we would study and restudy, and they were good figures. They were good figures. I still would stick with Hazen and Sawyer. We've got Hazen and Sawyer finally working with the county now. And I would stick with Hazen and Sawyer, even though this is a whole new group of people. Mm-hmm. Old Dick Hazen was still working, and he would come down. And he was a fine gentleman, and I respected him highly. But they didn't certainly react in the majority of people. They still reacted in a very bureaucratic and very autocratic. They didn't get people in to sit down and work with them and talk about the tests and what we ought to have to do. And I think that if a citizens committee had been more involved in which tests were going to be run and understanding what would be the effect of some of the other alternatives and why they were put aside, I think that they might have understood better there. They're really good people out there. And I think that they could have understood that their way of life is not necessarily going to get hurt. There are more cows in the University Lake watershed than there are in the Cane Creek watershed, or at least there were. And of course they were worried about other parts of the Clean Water Act too, about what it was going to cost them to not drain their barns into the lake and all that, but those things were going to happen anyway. So all these terrible things that were happening, it all came down on Owosso. But that was all right. Owosso didn't do anything that they should have done to dispel it.
Well, at this point in 76, with these two meetings, the board of Owosso was now in the control of elected officials. Right,
yeah.
That had already happened. So was there some tension or power fight between the elected officials and the actual people running Owosso over how to proceed?
Yeah, well, we were all running it because we didn't run an organization yet. And we didn't have any money to do things like I was chair of the Operations and Personnel Committee. And we had to put the personnel policy together and so forth. And that's why we were really busy doing things. But you fought for everything you wanted. But on all these issues, bringing the people in and what we were doing, any issue like that, and it did not come out elected officials against other people. There were 9 people there, and every single thing went down to a 5-4 vote. And we were always on the losing side. It was Flo Garrett, who was chairman of the county commission, it was me, who was from the board of aldermen, Braxton Fushi, and Ernie Patterson. And we were the 4 people, and you could back then it would be hard to find a really substantive vote on the way we go about something like this, or what we're going to do that didn't come down to 5-4.
how would you describe the difference? It certainly wasn't Democrat, Republican, or elected officials versus... What was the differentiation, do you think?
Oh, the old boys' network against, you know, the bureaucracy from the university, and the university always getting its way, and the old boys' network about what you're doing. You had a couple of, you know, retired men that were fine. They loved going over in the office and putting a big business together and so forth. But you could call it populist against everything else. You know,
okay.
I mean, that might be another way to describe it. Populists. Populists are going to take over the Orange County Board of Commissioners again.
Really?
I think so. I hope so.
That's good. The OWASA, then, it seems as though the people running OWASA or the bureaucratic organization itself was set on a path and didn't change that path after these meetings began and after the trouble began.
They certainly, I mean, I think you've got to talk about two paths. I mean, no matter how we felt about the meetings of what was happening, we knew there were no 5-4 votes on whether we were going to do Cane Creek or not.
Mm-hmm.
The other alternatives were looked at. They were not any good. They were not as good a water source. And the law was quite specific, and we needed them. That's what the federal government says we have to do, and people don't understand about mandates. But we had to take that source. Now, as far as including people or working with them and so forth, that did not improve. And it has not improved to this day. I don't know if anybody talked to you about it, about the sludge that they're putting out there now and the meetings that we've had. And I was running a meeting of the commissioners when Don wasn't there, and I insisted that we let the people out there get up and say what they had to say. And some of the commissioners were pretty upset because I let them talk for 2 hours. Just get it off their mind. But the other, for instance, one of the things that they always insisted we should build up University Lake higher. Well, it doesn't matter how big you build a dam, your watershed is only so big. And so that in years like we've had, you could have a great big dam up there and you'd only start out the year a third full.
Mm-hmm.
So they really was quite simple. So we knew what we had to do. And we went along, and I think the last time I really talked to the lawyers was when I let them take anything they wanted to copy for them. But then after that, the suit started and we really couldn't talk back and forth, and we just went on with the work to put OWASA together. We had a deadline and had to go into place.
It was a very confusing time.
It was a very confusing time. And we had some meetings, and one meeting on a Sunday night at 11 o'clock. That was the only way people could get together. And of course, people didn't pay too much attention. But I have very bad feelings, even with people that I like, about the way that happened. There was one time when I just said, you know, I can't believe. Now, are you telling me now that we're going to put this whole thing together and we're not going to have a public hearing? And one of our fine citizens that was on it was, it looked at me and said, we don't have time for you and your citizens. And that's not the way he ordinarily would do things, but it was really bad, and it was really confusing, and we had a lot of responsibilities, and we were really very, very busy.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be done.
So after the first two meetings, then it seemed like the lines were drawn. The people in Cane Creek formed the Cane Creek Conservation Authority and organized, and
mm-hmm.
OWASA and the local government held steadfast. And I guess the first thing you need to do is get condemnation power.
Well, they tried different things. I don't believe that was the first thing that they did to try and stop it. I really am not too clear. They went to court and tried to get injunctions against us and do this and do that. And but in order to condemn, I mean, they were still trying to buy property. And And we did, at first we couldn't buy any property. And then of course we had to have everything surveyed, and we had to look what was there. And of course there were incidents that they put up their sticks for the surveyors and they find them disappeared and so forth. And
wasn't there even a threat of violence at one point, or somebody with a gun or something?
There might be. I don't really remember that. I pretty much was spending my time with doing the work that had to be done to meet the deadlines and get Owosso together.
Was there a sense in Owosso and in the government that, in spite of all the Cane Creek opposition, that this would still go through?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it was...
It was inevitable.
I see.
It was inevitable. Was inevitable for certain reasons. I mean, anybody that knows the General Assembly and the University of North Carolina knows. We all know that, that what the university wants, the university gets.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And but even so, and even more than that, was the Public Law 92-500
mm-hmm.
that told us that that was the only one, that was the only choice we had. Practical.
The first major family to sell land was the Stanford family. Who negotiated with the Stanfords? Would that be the board of Owosso or?
No, it was the management.
Management itself. That seems to be one of the turning points in the whole crisis, at least from the farmer's point of view, that once the Stanford land was sold, that it would only be a matter of time. Do you see it the same way?
Well, I think that that was probably true, and I think that the Stanford land was extremely important where it was. And I think they were trying to be cooperative. I'm not sure if they had it to do over again. They would do it over again because of the strain, and this is what really is hard. You can't blame, because we certainly, Owosso was not in, put me as Owosso, but I was being Owosso at one time. But we were not trying to put a strain on it. We wanted to go just as fast. But with all that happened, I think that you take a man, Bill Stanford was still a relatively young man at that time. And yet it drug on for about 10 years. And so he really, there was all that uncertainty for all those years, and that's wearing on a person. And he wasn't such a young, as anywhere as near as young by the time that he got his money and moved out. So it's been very, very hard on the people. Very hard.
Hmm. Why do you think that people who were not immediately economically endangered, in other words, people who weren't farmers who would lose land, rallied so to this Cane Creek Conservation Authority?
Well, there were a limited number of people that rallied. It
okay.
may have seemed like it wasn't, but it was a limited number of people, and people that are interested in land conservation, people that are interested in animals and habitats, and it was a nice walk, and you know, now we have the Triangle Conservancy that would come in and might be trying to buy some of the land, I don't know. But I understand, but these were not people who were influential politically, nor were they people who represented a large group of just general citizens. They're a group, unfortunately, that has very little power wherever they go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Owosso did get a good environmentalist to do the environmental impact statement. The first environmental impact statement was terrible, and that was one of the things they got in the law. They had to get a better one. And they bought lands to mitigate the wildlife, and
mm-hmm.
it's, I think the people that rallied because it's good. good that people rally, and sometimes maybe you make a difference.
Mm.
But I don't think that in this particular case that we would.
Mm.
I mean, I know they wouldn't.
Yeah, we've been studying the Cane Creek community, and that's one of the questions that we've had is, was this a unifying event that brought a large number of people together, or was it a small core of activists? Which do you think?
Well, maybe from their point of view, with the sparsely settled people out there, that it seemed like a large, large number of people that were coming to their rescue and were interested. From our point of view of the interests and what was represented, and it was not a large group of people.
Mm-hmm. I see.
I wish it had been a large group of people. You know, I really wish it could, but I think that. But for the most part, except for individual things, people didn't understand the threat to our way of life. Right now, people are beginning to understand the threats that all this presumed growth is going to have to their way of life. And that's why, you know, we were very fortunate that Mayor Wallace decided he wanted to have extraterritorial jurisdiction over all the people in the rural buffer, because they rose up like mad. And then we were invited, those of us that were running for election, went from here to there to meetings to people's living rooms to do things, and these people were aroused. They formed neighborhood associations, and it's just great. I wish everybody else would now, but you just, so much as anybody wants to put a rose bush in now, and you'll have three alert citizens on top of them. Is this good or is this bad? And that's when we're having change like this. This to me is very good, and I have high hopes we're going to really have a lot more citizen input. It's hard to get it.
This is interesting then. When did Mayor Wallace do this with wanting to get jurisdiction over
just
the
recently.
Buffer? Oh, I see.
Just last fall.
This seems to fit into one of the themes that Cane Creek represents, which is the problem of a growing metropolitan area and an existing agricultural area.
That's right.
Let's talk a little bit about agriculture in Orange County and in Cane Creek. This growth problem has been going on for a long time.
Well, of course, and certainly the expectation of growth.
What's going to happen? Does agriculture have a chance?
You know, I do believe I'm more sanguine about agriculture having some chance now than I was 3 or 4 years ago. I was ready to do everything that I could to help it. We worked very hard on the implementation for the farm, to preserve our farms, the task force that Orange County had, and helping Ann Barnes get the law through the legislature. But all along, I thought that, you know, if this I-40 and this growth comes, and everybody's predicting it, and they're buying it all up, and it's going to roll onto us so fast. And then I started seeing all that Chapel Hill let do, and I couldn't believe that. That probably was a good idea, I mean, as far as getting other people alert. But I do think that it's not going to stop all growth, but I would predict that 60% of what might have happened in the next 15 years may be either permanently stopped or pushed down the line if the people keep as vigilant as they are now.
Hmm.
They are very vigilant, and they come up with everything. Cane Creek is up there. The watershed needs to be protected. We have critical quality watersheds now. So a great deal of the land out in the dairy farming area is in protected watershed or water quality critical area. And so with that approach, we may save more. Essentially, there's not going to be any more big things come out there, I don't think. work hard to not let Midway Airport get a special use permit, and unfortunately they did, but it was so economically and just not viable that they weren't able to build, and that's gone now. So I really don't know, but we've got our protections in that we didn't have before.
And those protections are predominantly citizen activism and the watershed protection.
Well, the watershed protection, yeah, we have some other, another rural buffer and joint planning, but when you get out in the farmland, it's the protection of the watershed and building in the watershed that's most important.
I guess the people at Cane Creek would feel a sense of frustration, though, in that in their particular case, when the needs of water and Chapel Hill were so clear and obvious that there wasn't anything that their citizen action could do, that the growth inevitably is going to affect them.
Well, but I understand how they feel, but I go back to what I've said before, that I am convinced that the large lake up there and the lands that are around it and the necessity to protect that large watershed is going to do more to make it possible for those farms and that rural community to continue to exist than if Cane Creek was not there, in which people would get in and buy land sooner or later.
Hmm. You mentioned Ann Barnes and a law that she had passed in the legislature. I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a law for farm protection. And when we all started out doing this, we did hope we could get some tax write-offs for farmers who wanted to band together and get an agricultural district together. But that we didn't get into it. But the law, and it just was passed last spring in the House, and then it just passed the Senate this spring, very quietly. I think it'll be on our agenda just for discussion this week. But essentially, all it does, doesn't have a whole lot of teeth, but it says that if farmers ask, that agricultural districts can be set up. And when agricultural districts are set up, that this protects people from nuisance suits, and it sort of has to go on the plats that this is farmland and it's protected so people know. I think we have to really look at what, I think that it enables us to do some things. One of the things that we wanted is if water and sewer passes a farm and it's a natural farm, it's in an agricultural district, that they wouldn't be able, that they wouldn't have to pay for that unless they used it, which would help take off some burden. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the final bill as it came out, but it's just to help, and it will give the farmers a voice, if nothing else, if they come together and form districts and then have their own district commission, then they can come and have something to say, and I think the law does say that before there's any condemnation, public purpose, that you must have public hearing and you must look at alternatives to what they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's it doesn't have a lot of teeth, but it's a beginning.
Is this, I saw somewhere an Orange County Task Force on Agriculture report,
mm-hmm,
from about 80-81, and I think they suggested agricultural districts. And
that's
this is
right. It's
the
a
result.
Follow-up from that. That's right. That's called
right.
To Preserve Our Farms.
Right.
And then that end was sent up to the legislature, and I got put on the county commission just as they were finishing that. And the commissioner had put together an implementation team, but they hadn't started on that. And so I got put on that, and that's how I began to learn a little bit about farming. And of course, our so-called farmer commissioner, Ben Roy, did everything in the world he could to stop this. And has for a couple of years. Oh, yeah.
Why would the farming commissioner be opposed to
that? Because he's a development commissioner and not a farming commissioner.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're just going to have to see. I mean, I'm not sure where we go with that from now, but we'll do what people want us to
Some of Cane Creek people, I think, were on that commission. I think maybe one of the tiers was on the commission.
I think they probably were.